You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hello, everybody. Thank you for tuning in to another edition of our AL Central chat. This week, as we do each week, we'll check in with all the beat writers from around the Central, and we'll be reviewing those all-star selections from around the division. We'll also get the usual news and notes on the Indians, Tigers, Royals, White Sox, and Twins. Here we go. Jeffrey, all right, so first of all, I got a bone to pick with you because now the last time I brought this up, the inconsistency of the rotation, you corrected me and you said, well, if you look over the last six, seven games, yada, 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 and that was all well and good. But now I got to throw it back at you because now the Royals have dropped 10 of the last 15. Starting pitchers have a 6.72 ERA in that span. And I know you talked with Ned Yost just about the inconsistency of this club. It's probably been one of the more inconsistent clubs in baseball. And, you know, the injuries are a big part of that, and the starting pitching is a big part of that as well.
Yeah, it's and a lot of it really comes out of Chris Young's starts have just been so horrible, so that's going to inflate the ERA quite a bit.
Sure.
Ian Kennedy pitched a beauty last night in Toronto and, you know, gave up just two runs and four hits, struck out 10. Duffy's been fantastic, but they have not got consistent starts out of Ventura. Even, you know, Eddie Volquez has been kind of up and down, and that fifth spot's just been a disaster from the get-go, so that's got to get fixed now that we're near the mid-season point. They've got to find a solution there. I don't know who it's going to be. Chris Medlin was a guy they were kind of grooming for that spot. He was actually pitching on the same day as Chris Young while he was rehabbing for the last 2 weeks, just in case they were ready to, you know, bring him back. And all of a sudden, he had a setback the other day, so we don't know what his future is going to be. Mike Minor is still on the shelf. He hasn't even gone on a rehab assignment yet, so internal options are few. You know, it might be a time where Dayton's probably going to have to go out and try to fix this problem with a trade or something like that, which I know he didn't want to have to do. But we're at that point now. The team is struggling, and they need a fix.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, the holes keep popping up all over on the injury front, as you alluded to. And since we last spoke, Lorenzo Cain hit the DL. Wade Davis hit the DL. Kendrick Morales is banged up currently, not a DL situation, but obviously at a time when his bat is very hot. So it's just one thing after another. But let's dig into these. The Davis one, you know, it's always scary with pitchers when you hear the words forearm strain, because so many times that does lead to something else. But it sounds like, you know, from everything he's saying, what the Royals are saying, it doesn't sound like a great deal of doom and gloom there, but certainly not ideal to lose one of the best, if not the best, closer in the game.
Yeah, absolutely. And there is a scare there because it is in the forearm, but it's not in the flexor mass, which usually leads to the dreaded UCL problems. But I talked to him about it right after he went on the DL, and he showed absolutely zero concern. He showed me where the pain was, and it's almost up near the wrist. So it's kind of a where he uses his motion to throw his cutter. It's up that high on it. So he had no concern about it being a long-term thing or anything to do with the elbow. So he said it's popped up, you know, maybe once or twice before. This is just one time where it didn't, you know, as he called it, the muscle didn't free up like it normally does after a couple of days' rest. So the smart thing to do here, shut him down, let him have 2 weeks of rest, have him ready for the second half, and get going. Lorenzo Cain started hitting the ball off the tee finally this week. No running exercises yet. So they were talking originally that it would be, you know, right about 15 days for him. That was over a week ago. It seems to me it's probably going to be maybe a little bit longer than that. But they can get him back maybe the first homestand after the All-Star break. They certainly miss his bat, and they miss his leadership and his ability to get on base and make things happen. We're seeing that now with the offense struggling.
Yeah, of course, Kane's injury led to us seeing Kendrick Morales in the outfield, which is not something you expected to see going into this year. But you said not yet. You said not yet with regard to the DL. Doesn't sound like he's responding well.
No, I talked to him yesterday. Actually, you know, in the 2 years I've been covering, we've never spoken a word of English other than hello. And I just kind of looked at him yesterday. He was kind of walking around pretty gingerly. And I said, how's the back? And he goes, oh, day to day. I almost, you know, fell on the floor that he knew that much English. And he said just it was very sore. He said that in English, too. And he was moving pretty slow. And I think you mentioned him playing in the outfield. played in the outfield for five straight days, and you know, it doesn't take a doctor to figure out that there's probably a connection there. You know, not playing the outfield for 8 years and then suddenly playing five straight days, something's going to happen, especially with a guy in his mid-30s. So they're hoping that's not a long-term thing, but who knows with this team right now, with the injury bug biting them almost every other day, maybe we don't see him until after the All-Star break either.
Merck, I'm glad you could join us today. It's still morning in Chicago as we record this, and it seems like you have survived Grateful Dead night at U.S. Cellular Field, so that's good.
Yeah, you know, nothing, no offense to the Deadheads, I believe they're called, but that's one group I never really got. They're not the Eagles for me, but hey, more power to everyone who loves them, and they had a nice little production last night at the ballpark, and moved on to baseball shortly thereafter.
Very good, very good. Well, we learned on Tuesday that Chris Sale is headed back to the All-Star game for the fifth straight year, and he's a perfect 5 for 5, Mark. 5 years as a starting pitcher in the big leagues, 5 years as an All-Star. We talked about this a little bit last week, but certainly seems like he's the favorite to start that game for the American League.
Yeah, Sale getting selected is about as surprising as it being, you know, cold in December in Chicago. There was very little doubt that Chris was going to be a representative for the White Sox. I think some Sox fans and people in the organization are a little disappointed Quintana didn't make it because he's had a very good season. I think Jose probably was hurt a little bit by a not a rough June by any stretch of imagination, but didn't pitch as great as he had in the first couple months. And of course, you know, until his last start against Houston, just got no run support. I think at one point he had 8 of 9 starts where he had one run or zero, which is pretty hard to pitch around. But anyways, back to Sale. I mean, just, you know, 5 years as a starter, 5 years an All-Star, just kind of remarkable performer. You know, one of the top starters in baseball. And yeah, again, I don't see, you know, no offense to Steven Wright or Danny Salazar or Cole Hamels, but it's got to be Sale. And not just, you know, I know people don't love the win totals, but the fact is that they're there. He's 14-2 on a team with 43 wins and is 2 games over .500 overall. And, you know, he's up in the league leaders in whip and opponents average against and ERA. And even though he's not going for the strikeouts, he's right there as one of the leaders. I believe he leads the American League in innings pitch. So it's hard to argue. And, you know, I even if Ned Yost doesn't want to, you know, tip the cap to someone in the division, it's kind of hard to argue that. And I don't think that'll be the case either. It's kind of argue that anyone but Sale should start on Tuesday.
Yeah, Sale seems like a safe pick there. He was a no-brainer for the All-Star game. And Todd Frazier,
he's also starting Friday against Atlanta, so he'll have no problem in terms of rest if it's on that Tuesday.
And he might not have any problem in terms of padding his numbers against that Atlanta offense.
Yeah, there you go. Maybe the first career no-hitter.
We knew Sale would make it. We knew Todd Frazier wouldn't make it on account of his batting average, but he has expressed interest in vying to maintain his home run derby title. And it seems like the way the winds are blowing, it seems like he'll get that opportunity. We don't know that for sure as we record this, Merck, but it'll be nice to see Frazier defend his title out there in San Diego.
It's interesting. I talked to him back, I want to say middle of May about this. And even then he said he just loved the competition. He just had the best time out there and it was just exciting for him. And he said he thinks about it all the time, and he wants to defend. And I don't see any reason why he wouldn't. He said he's bringing his brothers back again. I think it's what Charlie is the pitcher. He threw to him in the Derby, and then Jeff, as he said, is his hype man. So they'll both be back in San Diego. But yeah, it's a good thing for him. He's got that kind of swing that is conducive to the Derby, and you know the Sox. That's one thing that has not been an issue at all. Many things have not been an issue with Todd the first half. He's, you know, right up there in the major league leaders in home runs, 23 at the time that we're taping this. Solid defense from Frazier, starting to, you know, get a little more consistent contact. And again, I don't think they acquired this guy to hit 300. I think they acquired him to do pretty much everything he's done, be a great clubhouse presence, solid defense in third, strong power guy, driven in some runs. You know, I think they'd like a little more out of the average side. He's still hovering around 200, maybe in the 240, 250 range, but he's been a pretty solid pickup for them, and he's, you know, I know very excited. He said this a couple times about being in San Diego for a day, defending the title, and then getting a couple days to kind of rest and regroup and get ready for the start of the second half in Anaheim.
Sox have won 10 of their last 15 as we record this. Merck, their most encouraging stretch we've seen from this club since April, basically. What's the key to this recent stretch?
Well, one of the things that's impressive about them, which was not impressive during that 10-26 funk, I think they were 3, 11-1 off the top of my head, I want to say, in series during that stretch. And now they're, if they, you know, as we're taping this, it's the series finale against the Yankees. A win in that would be 5 straight series wins. And then, like you said, going into Atlanta this weekend, who is, you know, one of the 2 worst teams in baseball in Chicago. I think one of the keys has been, you know, better starting pitching. They're getting a little more timely hitting. And, you know, the deeper starting pitching is allowing the bullpen to kind of regroup a little bit. And even some of the younger guys like Beck and Anoa are kind of finding a little bit of a niche and still kind of a work in progress down there. But without Zach Putnam and Jake Petrischko, they're, you know, they're doing what they can to fill in there. But just, you know, a little better overall play. The defense has continued to play well. And I think Anderson has made a difference. Tim Anderson's added a spark in that lineup. And like I said, just the key thing is keep winning series. That's you know, in this fight where it looks right now like it's going to be for one of the 2 wild cards. And really, you know, you can get one or the other because it's not like anyone is running away with a wild card and leaving the second just to the lag behind. But, you know, in that fight for the wild card, you got to keep winning series. As long as you keep winning series, you're going to stay in contention for a postseason spot.
JB, since we last spoke, the streak continued. It went 14 games in all. I think it should count as 15 games, given that one of those wins was a 19-inning job in Toronto. But you can't really say enough about what that streak meant for the optimism surrounding this club, the national exposure, the national interest, and obviously their spot atop the division.
Yeah, I thought it was great. You know, I was happy they were able to set the record. You know, that was a game I'll never forget, and I know Indians fans will never forget. Incredible performance, 19-inning game. Trevor Bauer, you know, kind of selflessly logging 5 innings there at the back end. Yeah, it was pretty incredible. So you know, this team will for at least this reason, will go down in Indians history. And like you said, I think it's good that, you know, kind of on the got into the national radar. Team's in first place, and they're going to head into the All-Star break on a pretty incredible run at a time when, you know, Cleveland sports is had a nice run here nationally. So, you know, let's see if it can carry over. But there's definitely a lot more optimism in Cleveland than you and I are used to seeing. But that's a good thing. I think it's been great, and hopefully this carries on because it's been a fun season so far.
Yeah, certainly a mental weight lifted around here with what the Cavaliers did, and we'll see how that carries forward. But you know, anytime you have a streak like that, there's some very real things happening in it. There's also some very fluky things happening in it. I'm sure, you know, the offense we saw during that stretch it's hard to maintain that over the long haul. But the pitching was everything we kind of expected it to be. As, you know, Carrasco got healthy and rejoined this group, and Trevor Bauer took his step forward. I mean, this is the rotation they hope to have.
Yeah, I think Terry Francona said it today. You know, he was asked about that rotation. He said when he comes to the ballpark, you know, every day he feels like he has a chance to win because of that rotation. Not that he wouldn't otherwise, but just there's that feeling every day that each one of those pitchers is going to put that team in that position. So as we talked about last time, when the offense does get on a hot streak, you know, you can run into a nice long winning streak if that rotation is doing what it's capable of doing. So I think that was, as you mentioned, the rotation was a very real thing that we saw during the streak. The surplus of offense, I think, was nice to see. And hopefully it continues. You know, maybe getting Brantley back will help that kind of be a little more sustainable in the second half. But that was good to see. The bullpen, which had very little work throughout that streak, you know, ended up playing the key role in that 19-inning game. And obviously we've seen the last few days kind of the chain reaction of the kind of the repercussions of playing to win that one game, the effect it took on the next couple days. But I think it was worth it. You know, they got the 14 games in a row, and you know, all the things we've already mentioned, you know, have kind of been playing in the team's favor right now.
Yeah, you're referring to Jabba Chamberlain, right, and Tom Gorzolani being designated for assignment, and yeah, it's one of those deals where the numbers kind of catch up to you, and then the lack of options in the bullpen. I talk to managers all the time who say it's a big thing to have options in your bullpen, mm-hmm, optionable pieces in your bullpen, because it does help you in times like these. The Indians don't have that luxury right now.
Right. I mean, a couple years ago, you know, Jason Giambi was here, and he was kind of that designated disabled list guy.
Right.
And he always gave them that ability to have that one guy on the roster where when they were in a crunch, you know, they could, you know, he's 41 years old. Something was always aching. You know, it's at least that's what it seemed like. And then, you know, you've had guys like Nick Hagedon when he was here. That year he had the option. He seemed like he was seemingly going back and forth between Columbus and Cleveland. And you know, you've had some other pitchers. Kyle Crockett was one of those guys at one point. where because he had that option, he knew that if they needed to make a move, whether it was unfortunate for him, it was fortunate for the team. You know, right now they have a lot of guys down in that bullpen who have either secured their jobs or on guaranteed contracts or are out of options and controllable for years where they're not going to want to risk losing them because of depth. And I think Java just ended up being the kind of the odd man out in an unfortunate situation because he's pitching very well and brought a lot to that clubhouse. I know the Indians didn't want to have that conversation, but you know that 19-inning game combined with Corey Kluber's rough start combined with a number of other factors led to that move. And you know they already needed bullpen help, and maybe now as the trade deadline approaches, they'll be even more aiming to get bullpen help, you know, as the July 31st deadline comes up.
Obviously, this is not a fun place for the Tigers to come this particular season, the way things have gone against the Indians. But, you know, the overriding storyline with the Tigers is just the continuing struggle to get traction in this rotation. And we've seen in recent days the injury bug has bit them again. Daniel Norris is oblique. Jordan Zimmermann is on the shelf. Talk about these two situations and how they impact things going into the All-Star break.
Well, I mean, it puts them in a bind in that final week in a trip where they're going up against offensively minded clubs. If they happen separately, maybe it would be a little bit easier to fill in. When they happen together at the same time like this, then, you know, this is an organization that gets stretched pitching-wise to where you have to count on innings from Anibal Sanchez, and you have to look to Matt Boyd against his old club, which traditionally has not been a real good matchup for him. Assuming that's the call for Saturday, most likely it will be, but they could go in another direction too, depending on, you know, what happens maybe with Buck Farmer in the bullpen. Or this is already a team that's been carrying an extra reliever for the better part of a month because they need the depth and relief to cover some of the innings that they're not getting from the rotation that they were hoping to get from the rotation going into the year. So it continues at least through the break.
Yeah, and we've talked a little bit about this before, Beck, but obviously thinking ahead to the trade deadline, and this is a club that sure seems like it could use some help in the pitching department, be it the rotation or the bullpen or both. But it seems like relatively status quo as far as what they're going to be able to do at this deadline with the pieces they have in their farm system, or even just the reluctance to deal the pieces they have in the farm system.
Yeah, I mean, that's the problem.
Yeah.
Whenever the conversations get going, Fulmer's going to be the one guy
right.
that gets asked about first. And that's going to be a non-starter because they need him, not just for the future. They need him now, right now. Beyond that, you know, Norris is injured now. Boyd, while a valuable part for the Tigers, I think is more valuable to Detroit than he is to other organizations. And then once you go beyond that, it's still an organization that's trying to build up its talent base from years of trades. And I think Al Avila has made it clear he wants to stockpile young talent, not get rid of it. It's an interesting intersection right now between where the Tigers are going now, where they want to go in the future, and whether this is going to be their best chance to contend for a while. And how realistic is their chance to contend this year anyways? It really spurs a big picture discussion about this organization and what the end goal is. And it's going to, I wouldn't start to predict it, but it'll be interesting to see where it ends up as we go into the deadline. And, you know, depending on what happens in the next few weeks, this could even be a team that ends up looking to maybe make a trade to shed a veteran or two at the deadline, although it won't be some massive rebuild, not just for direction and franchise, but for also contractual purposes. Mm-hmm. There's not a whole lot of flexibility there.
Yeah. Yeah, in this conversation we were having last year before Miggy got hurt, and then that kind of settled it. And then they veered totally in the other direction in the offseason. But you knew there was a sense of fragility here. And obviously that's caught up to him a little bit, in the rotation in particular. Just that thin feeling.
Yeah. And the one situation will be interesting to watch, I think, will be, you know, what happens if J.D. Martinez comes back before the deadline and looks like he's in reasonable health. That gives you two pretty good right fielders going right now if Stephen Moya keeps going the way he has been. And depending on the situation, do you maybe look and see what type of interest there is? And that's one of those scenarios where you could envision maybe them looking at trade interest either way to see if either there's some pieces they can get for the future, or is there an upgrade they can make right now to help their chances down the stretch? Scouts have been very varied on their opinions of Moya over the years because he hasn't had a large resume of big league time. He's getting that long stretch right now. He'll continue to get that for the next couple weeks at the very least, probably a little bit longer than that. So does he start changing some scouts' minds by his performance? At the same time, does he change the Tigers' minds about how they see their outfield going forward? It's interesting and it's fun talk.
Rhett, it was pretty much a foregone conclusion that Eduardo Nunez would represent this club on the All-Star team, and that's exactly the case. And really just a great story here for a guy who, you know, obviously did not have an everyday job going into the season, wasn't even on the All-Star game ballot as a result of that. To get this assignment is pretty cool for him.
Yeah, it really was. It was really awesome. This is a guy that, you know, seventh year in the majors, never really had a chance to be an everyday guy. You know, New York, he was a pretty big prospect and kind of considered the heir apparent to Derek Jeter at shortstop, but, had trouble defensively there, never really got much consistent playing time because Jeter obviously lasted a little longer than people, I think, realized or even thought he would. So he never really got a chance to play every day. Came to Minnesota here a couple years ago, same kind of thing, more of a utility guy who kind of plays some shortstop, second base, third base, kind of bounce around. And then this year with injuries early in the season to Trevor Plouffe and then Eduardo Escobar, he started getting regular time at third and short, and sure enough, had a hot start to the year, and people thought, okay, maybe he'll cool down. It never really happened. He's been their best, most consistent hitter pretty much the entire season. Was hitting as high as like 350 at one point. He's still obviously hitting over 300 right now. I think entering yesterday on Wednesday, he was, I think he was ninth in the American League in batting average and third in stolen bases. He's kind of become the team's regular shortstop now too. So, definitely a really cool story. Talking to him when he found out about the All-Star game nod, he was very, very excited. You could tell it's meant a lot to him, just considering how much he's gone through to get to this point.
I want to talk a little bit about Max Kepler. He had the 7 RBI game against the Rangers last week, and really a strong season for the rookie from Germany. OPS over 800, 17 extra base hits in 41 games. There's another guy, Rhett, who obviously did not have a regular role on this club or even a spot in the big leagues at the beginning of the season, but you know, he's made the most of the opportunity in the outfield.
Yeah, he really has. He's definitely had a nice season here as a rookie. We saw him a little bit last year, just a couple games there at the end of the season as a September call-up. But, he's been a big prospect now for a while. I think last year was really the first year he really had a breakout season in the minors. Before that, you know, he was signed out of Germany as a 16-year-old. You know, he had some injuries early in his career, and everyone could see the development coming, and even just the physical maturity, growing into kind of just, you know, going from a 16-year-old to now, obviously, he's 22, 23. Last year, had a breakout year, was probably the best player, won the MVP at the Southern League, Double-A Chattanooga. Had a breakout season, got rewarded with a little bit of a call-up, and then this year, finally getting some regular playing time, he's pretty much established himself now as a starting right fielder. And as you said, too, the extra base hit power, starting to come around, never hit for too many home runs in the minor leagues, but I think people thought that would always come in time because he is a big guy. You know, he's got a good swing, left-handed swing. He's a pretty solid defender out there. He can run, so he's got pretty much the full package. And I think it's kind of exciting for the Twins to see him do so well early. You know, we've seen other Twins players that were big prospects like Byron Buxton kind of struggle out of the gates a little bit, but to see Kepler kind of have a fast start certainly is a good sign. And you know, you never know how it'll go from here. We've seen other guys in the past, you know, whether it's been Eddie Rosario or Kenny Vargas or Arcia have, you know, a hot start and kind of cool off. But I think with Kepler, he's a bigger prospect than any of those guys were outside of maybe Buxton and Sano. But definitely a good sign to see him and contributing so much offensively so far.
Yeah, we were very focused on Sano, Buxton, Rosario, and that Twins outfield going into the year. And it turns out, some of the biggest contributions come from Kepler or Robbie Grossman. What have you thought of Grossman's season?
Rusty's done a nice job. I mean, pickup from, he was a great, he was a prospect, you know, for the Astros. Didn't really pan out there. Twins took kind of a flyer on him here, thinking that maybe he could be, a decent option in the outfield, maybe even a fourth outfielder, and got really hot. The thing with Grossman is he does a great job of drawing a lot of walks. He has a really good eye. He's showing a little bit of power here, too, but mostly early on when he first came up. Had a great start to the season. Sorry, great to the start to his Twins career, I guess you could say. It's cooled off a little bit, but still putting up good numbers. Still drawing a lot of walks. Switch hitter. He's going to get a look out there, obviously, with Rosario is back up here. And they kind of want to get, I think the big thing this year, the second half now, they really want to get a look at some of these younger guys or guys that haven't really had a chance to play every day to kind of see what they have. To see if Grossman's more than just a fourth outfielder, you know, if Eddie Rosario can get it going, you know, Kepler out and right, you know, Buxton in center, and now with Plouffe out for at least a month, you're going to have Sano at third. I just think this team right now is going to keep playing these young guys, and I'm sure we'll see Jose Barrios in the rotation soon. Just kind of see what they have in these young players in the second half of the season.